In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Today I want to speak, before we begin to talk about the gospel of life, I want to speak a little bit about the life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." All life comes from God, and all life is precious. But you know, we have to always remember when we're talking about pro-life that it's rooted in the cross, that it's rooted in the resurrection, that it's rooted in the ascension, it's rooted in Jesus. It's not only that we are doing good, but that we are people who are into Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I was just speaking with a friend of mine from Poland, Martin. He's a young man. He's going to finish university this year. He's going to Scotland to preach the gospel. He said he prayed over a blind person or a deaf person. I don't remember what it was. And they were completely healed. This is a young man. You should see him jump for Jesus, I tell you. He lives it, he prays it, and he is it. So today we're going to be speaking about the gospel of life, and Ryan's going to begin.
Father, thanks for having me here. It's always a pleasure to be on In Season, Out of Season. This has been a great ministry, of course, strong pro-life ministry. For how many years now, Father?
31
years. That's a long time. So I get the great opportunity to be a part of the grassroots work of the pro-life movement in Louisiana and, of course, other states. And we know if you look around, it's very clear to see that there's two paths in life. There's the path of life, and then there's the path of death. And I'm always having to remind myself that every little thing we do can either set us up on going down the life path or down the death path. In fact, I have three little children. Of course, I'm married. And I know when I put my feet on the floor every morning, I said, you know, is today going to be about me or is today going to be about us? If today's about me, then, you know, things don't really flourish and grow and life doesn't get going. But if things are about us, then I know we're much more fruitful and things are happening. In fact, you know, all this stuff that's going on with Planned Parenthood, it's all... Right, it's about us. It's about us not being able to kind of deal with the problems in the way that God would want us to deal with problems, to deal with situations and crises in a way that's fruitful and life-giving and transformative, but rather we buy the lie that we basically need to get rid of problems and we need to basically, as Pope Francis would talk about, dispose of life, just kind of this throwaway culture of life.
Life is precious. Jesus takes a little child and says, "This is what you have to become like, a little child, to enter the kingdom of heaven." And, you know, he said that are the little children that he gives are given in his name. How many people really want another baby? How many people will accept from the Lord a beautiful baby? You know, you say, well, you know, we're finished with that. We've had our two children, and that's just about it. Let me just tell you that God is a God who loves children, who loves creation. And you, as a married person, have the ability with God to create another human being by the grace of God. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. You know, if I asked you today, you know, if I had to give you $1 million or $2 million, what would you want? Two. If I asked you if you want $2 million or $4 million, what would you want? Four. Well, children are worth more than $1 million, I'll tell you that. They're worth the blood of Jesus. They're worth the power of the cross. They're worth the resurrection of Jesus.
You know, today, Father, it's very easy to see sort of this culture that we're in where I think people kind of get in the way, you know. And we make decisions based upon, you know, what necessary we want to do. And I know Father's right. You know, children, of course, are a blessing. The three children that my wife and I have been blessed to have, it's always a great testament. I think of this often. You know, I might not be able to get to pray as much, maybe quiet prayer, as much as I like to, having three children under five in the home. But still, at the end of the day, I know that children and life and relationships and friendships are ways that God reveals things to us. And the world is in such a need for the revelation of life, the revelation for those things that are life-giving. Just praying that those that would that God would reveal to us, open our eyes to see those things that bear fruit that last and live abundantly, especially children. Especially, you know, we talk about all this stuff that's going on with Planned Parenthood, this throwaway culture, all this the dollars, basically just to put money in the and all these are all the Kermit Gosnells, by the way. Planned Parenthood. We see, you know, what's happening behind the curtain in this death scene. There's nothing beautiful, sanitary, medicinal about or clinical about any of this stuff. It's basically all sad, traumatic Kermit Gosnell experience. But what we're trying to focus on also now, but there's a greater path. There's the path of life and prosperity, and we see that in the gospel today. God says, just look at these little children. Let me look how innocent they are. It's always beautiful when we put our little ones, you know, asleep, and they just, like, fall asleep. Like, you know, there's no worries, there's no concerns. Their parents are taking care of them. They had enough to eat. They may wanted more cookies, but maybe they didn't get all the cookies they wanted. But they just sleep and they rest. And I think that God is asking us to sort of remind ourselves about the beauty of life and the beauty of children.
And to return to the gospel, Ryan, that you brought up, when Jesus takes that small child and places him in his midst and says, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And when we really enter into that word, that scripture, we hear this beautiful and wonderful truth that Jesus is speaking right now into my heart, into your heart. Because as Ryan was just saying, you know, when he puts his children to bed, they trust, they're full of joy and peace and this tranquility. And why? You know, as we've been on vacation with all these kids, we can see that they look to their mom, they look to their dad, they look to their godparents, they look to the priest around them, they look to these adults in their life who they know, but more importantly, who they trust. That they know these ones who care for them, that they love them. And they can trust that they're being taken care of. And you see, Jesus, as he brings this child into his midst, he reminds us that we are God's children. That you are his son, you are his daughter. And he says, the more you enter into my life, my heart, the more you grow in trust of me, the more you grow in faith, that you'll receive that strength, you receive that grace, you receive that ability, again, as Ryan said, to wake up in the morning and say, today's not about me, but today's about us. You know, how do we do that? We do it by that first step saying, Jesus, I trust in you. Because I know you. Because I know that you care for me. I know that you are generous. I know that you are merciful. I know that you are good. I know that you are forgiving. I know that you are loving. And I know that you will never abandon me. That you care for me. That you cherish me. Even more than I care about myself. And it's not magic. It's called relationship. It's called knowing God, knowing Jesus, and every moment of the day that we spend with him, every moment that we just read a word from the Bible, from the scripture, every moment we encounter him at Mass, we encounter him in the sacraments, we're growing in that trust, we're growing in that faith, we're growing in that relationship. And he says, I love when you are with me. I love when I can reveal myself to you so that you can grow in trust and you can grow in faith, so that you can embrace life, so that you can embrace even the cross. Because the cross won't be then something foreign. The sacrifice that love calls for won't be something cruel. It won't be something beyond me. It'll be where my beloved is. It'll be where the one who I know and love, who I'm in relationship with, where he is. And so we just come today in gratitude. We come today in gratitude for this gospel, for this word that Jesus gives us, that as he shows us this child, he says, you are my child. That's right. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. It's true. Whether you think you deserve it or not, guess what? You do. Because the Father cherishes you. And he gazes upon you with joy, and he wants to give you his mercy and his grace, and he wants you every day and every moment when you spend that time with him to grow in trust, to grow in confidence, so that you can have the strength to sacrifice, so that you can have the strength to pick up your cross and follow him, that you can have the strength to die to yourself and to flourish and be a part, be a witness, be an instrument of life.
An instrument of life. You see, it's all rooted in Jesus. Today we got a call from Eleanor, and they had a save at Planned Parenthood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But you see, Eleanor is there not because she's only a counselor, but she's there because of Jesus. Jesus has led her there. She's there because of Jesus. And if no one was there, that person would have gone in and had her abortion. You know what they say about abortions? They say, well, it's the easy thing to do. It's like the quick thing to do. And then when you leave the abortion mill, the devil says you killed your child. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't think he's not involved in that. He is the master of abortion. He is the master. If we will not offer our God, our children to God, we offer them to convenience, the God of convenience. And, you know, there might be someone listening to me who has a problem pregnancy. And that's not difficult. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. I remember doing a broadcast in Washington when we went for the pro-life march. We never got to march because it was a blizzard. But I remember doing a broadcast, and there were two or three babies that were saved that day just over the broadcast. It's all about life. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about God. We would love people to go to Planned Parenthood and just pray outside that mill. It is not a clinic. It's a mill. It's a mill. And today, from that mill, one child will be born by the grace of God.
Thank you, by the grace of God. And I know this prayer is also today for children that have disabilities, moms, dads that have been diagnosed with a child that has a disability. In fact, you know, Down syndrome today, 70%, basically, it's believed that 70% of children who are diagnosed with Down syndrome prenatally, of course, are aborted. Their lives are ended. They never had a chance. And, you know, it's such a sad thing to think that just because of an ultrasound, just a basic first impression of what a baby is, that basically in the medical field and a lot of doctors will persuade parents to have abortion. Just think about that. If every time we were making a decision about somebody's life based upon just a first impression of something, you know, it shows you how basically shallow and immature and how unformed our hearts are. But, you know, let me talk a little bit about sort of, you know, you look at this gospel again about children, the gift of children, what God is asking, you know, us to take a look at it, to look at the example of these little children. One of my sons, he's four. One of the things that he loves to do, I always think is so amazing, he loves to jump off something high and have me catch him. And it's just always amazing me, this look in his face of being caught. Just sort of this thrill of the catch, basically, and I think, you know, he has no idea what it's like to fall yet. I hope he never falls and hurts himself, of course, but he doesn't know what it's like to get hurt because I've always caught him. But I think just it's a good something for me to look at, I think for parents to look at, and all of us, that God, our Father, of course, wants to catch us. He wants us to not just look at other children, but to think about the children that he, of course, created us to be, and the children that we will always be of him if we kept, you know, in his grace. You know, this wonder, you look at children in their eyes and the wonder of their faces, and I think this mystery that I think God, of course, is all asking us all to live and embrace ourselves.
As I was walking up the steps last night, Father Matthew said, look to the right, and I saw three beautiful babies sound asleep. I wish I had a camera to take the picture of these three beautiful babies sound asleep, open to life. These children are open to life because it's all about life. But again, life is all about Jesus. It's not about just life. It's about Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. You know, you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have been adopted as God's children. You have been taken into the family of God through faith and baptism.
Right.
You have been taken into the family of God through faith and baptism. That means no matter what you're struggling with today, you have another family. You have the Lord Himself who wants to help you through all the stuff that you're going through. You're not called to go through it alone. You ask Him for help. And if He needs to lessen the pain, you just say, Jesus, lessen the pain today. Just lessen the pain today. What are you trying to teach me through this pain? What are you trying to teach me through this experience? What are you trying to teach me?
Look, all these experiences of pain, I was telling, you know, Father, he's been active in this radio ministry for 31 years, but even more than just as a priest. And before he was a priest, just praying with people, you know, who are sick and all the needs, you know, as the older I'm getting and realizing just the more people that we intercede for, my wife and I, how much suffering and sickness there is in the world. And if those are like on the front line, like Father Tom, who've been praying and putting his heart out there and helping these people to experience the healing power of Christ, you know, it takes its sort of its toll, and it starts to basically become, it could be a burden, and it could also be sort of a fulfilling thing if you give of yourself. But again, all the sort of anxiety that a lot of us experience with people being sick. I think about this family that I know that have a young baby that was just born 3 months ago with Edwards syndrome, called trisomy 18, which the baby is actually not supposed to live. Or shouldn't have lived much longer after the baby was delivered, but the baby's 3 months old, and it's just, the baby seems to be okay. But you know, the prognosis is that eventually the baby is going to just stop breathing for some, you know, issues with the lungs, and you know, the baby's on hospice, which seems so strange. You know, can you imagine having a newborn baby on hospice? But the reality is, this is something that people go through. The parents, they were basically, it was suggested to them that they let the baby die or even have an abortion because they know how it was in. But actually, they didn't do that. They chose to deliver the little baby, Ella Marie, and she's with them, and they're loving her. And the baby's siblings are enjoying this little gift. And, you know, the whole gift of life, we know the fruits of death, right? We know how things end up when we choose death. But the gift of life is such a mystery. And we don't know when we say yes to life, when we say yes to Christ, we don't know the beauty of what the next step is going to be, that what the next day is going to be like, or what that evening is going to be like. It's always a great gift. And I know, I see Father's been active, you know, in this mystery, seeing the healing and seeing the reconciliation. So I just have a question for Father. Father, how do we kind of remind ourselves, or how do we start to begin the healing that we need to basically become children again of our Father in heaven, to have that sort of attitude of a child and wonderment and being received by the Father?
First of all, you've got to realize that you're broken. That you're broken and you need to be fixed. And there's only one person that can fix you. His name is Jesus. And you're like a little child going to Jesus, or going to the Heavenly Father, saying, you know, I'm bruised, I'm broken. I'm broken in these areas. I want to name the areas. I never had a relationship with my father. I was with a policeman at the School of the Holy Spirit, and I called him over to me, and I said to him, what about your father? He says, well, my father doesn't go to church. I said, I'm not talking about church. What about your relationship with your father? And he said, I really have none. So I had him forgive his father. And when he forgave his father, the next day he comes up to me with a big smile and says, thank you so much for what you've done to me and done for me, that I forgave my father. He put $60 in my pocket. Not that I was looking for money, but the point is that everyone is broken, and we're all little children when it comes to God. all little, you might be 93 today, but you're a little child when it comes to God. And he wants to do something for this little child. I remember going into a house once, and I asked the lady if she wanted me to pray with her. And she said, oh, it's too late. I'm 90-something, and I've never prayed. I said, well, you know what? You're just an inch, a year old as compared to God. He's infinite. Let's pray. And she asked Jesus to come into her heart that day. And, you know, it's just important that we all realize that nothing is impossible with God. No matter what we're going through, nothing is impossible with God. I have in front of me the icon of the Perpetual Help, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. The beauty of this is not seen. It's Jesus dropping his sandal. That was the way they made covenants in the old times. And he's looking toward the cross for you and for me. He's looking toward the cross for you and for me. That's why he went to the cross, for you and for me. You say, I'm not worthy. That's right, you're not worthy. No one's worthy. No one's, only the Lamb that is worthy. Only Jesus is worthy. You might say, well, I've just snapped you on today. It's an accident. No, it's not an accident. It's something that God prepared for you. You might say, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. You say, Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I want to know you. And if you're doubting Jesus, you say, Jesus, show me yourself, because I'm in doubt. I want to know you for sure. Give me a sign. Oh, I remember this woman who I prayed with, and we asked for a sign, and she said it'd be impossible for this sign to come about. It wasn't an hour later that the sign came, and she called me. She said, I do believe in Jesus. I give my life to Jesus. She said the sign came while I was in the automobile. I don't remember what the sign was. But God will give the sign to you if you need a sign.
I heard this recently, the need, as Father's talking about the sign, just the need to have revelation in the world, the need to have God reveal his truth, his goodness, and his beauty to us. As a husband and a father, I really try to, I have to, of course, go to work, but when I come back, I have this 20-minute drive from the office or so, and I try to separate all those distractions in my head, the news, the media, politics, trials during the day, maybe feeling exhausted, and just come home basically to, I know where God wants me first and foremost, and to see the revelation of what God is trying to say.
You know, as we come to the end here, as Father Tom was saying, it's more than just words when he tells us, when he reminds us this truth of the gospel, this truth of Jesus, that he comes for you, that he longs to forgive you, that he longs to be with you, and that's by his cross and by his blood that we are set free, that we're healed, that we're forgiven. You know, it's more than just words, because Jesus himself, in today's gospel, after he brings that child into his midst and says, whoever is like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He then tells us that wonderful parable, of the lost sheep. You know, that wonderful parable, you know it, of the one sheep that gets lost and he leaves the 99 and finds the one. And you know, we don't always, we hear that and we think, oh, okay, that's nice. But you know, that's our story, because we don't always know. We don't know why the sheep got lost. We don't know if the sheep got lost because he was confused. We don't know if the sheep got lost because he followed someone else. We don't know if the sheep got lost because he was just a nasty sheep and said, I don't want anything to do with this shepherd. But you know what? The shepherd comes after his sheep. He doesn't ask why the sheep is lost. He knows he's lost. And if you are lost, he knows you are lost. And he comes to seek you out. Comes to seek you out and to hold you in his arms and to give you that mercy that comes from his cross, that mercy that comes from his pierced side, from his sacred heart. He longs to forgive you and to bring you into his embrace, an embrace that changes your whole life, an embrace that gives you a peace that never ends, an embrace that speaks to you, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The job description of Jesus, he came to seek and save that which was lost. If you're lost, he's for you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.